from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Hit us up on the social media at Facebook at Wild Michigan. Also, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Are you getting a theme that Wild Michigan is the name of the show? But how about our friends at Not Just Guns in Mason, Cedar Street at 127? Check them out. They've got some great, great classes at the Great Lakes Training Academy right next door. Lots of action classes and basic classes for the beginner. I'm going to be getting myself back in there to basically start over with the handgun stuff from the beginning all the way into, protecting my house. So all that at notjustguns.com. You can find out that information. Also, we'll be speaking to our guests via the Conquest Sense hotline today, Doug and Karen Roberts. Conquest Sense over there in Davison, Michigan. Get your sense now, because you can use the Evercalm to go out to your tree stand or to cut some lanes or to set up your trail cams. Because look, bow season is little over, a month and under two months away. So why not get things set up now to see at least what's in your area right now or what could be sticking around? So conquestsense.com, and then of course the big one, VS1, and all of their other scents, plus some new stuff that I can't quite talk about yet, but I know it's coming. So we'll talk about that when we are able to. And right now we have bear season approaching us here in Michigan. And I think to myself, I think a couple things. I think of Richard P. Smith, who's an outdoor author, videographer, photographer, award-winning in all aspects, because he is the man who has literally walked with bears. And I think of our good friend Ed Shaw up at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center at Cadillacs Lake Mitchell, because that was the first class of the Outdoor Skills Academy that I attended here a few years ago. And since then, everything has blown up. It's gotten huge. They have new locations for that you can attend. But we're going to talk about the upcoming bear season with Ed right now, an interpreter with the Michigan DNR. Ed, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good to be back on the show.
Dude, I tell you what, man, bear season, this is my bucket list thing. I've got way more bear points than I need to at least get a good first run. Of course, I know with the Western UP, can pretty much buy them over the counter. They're that abundant as far as the tags are concerned. But this is the only thing I haven't taken for big game in Michigan. All right. Now, mind you, the only trophy stuff I've got are turkeys. That's pretty much an easy one. But, the black bear, that's the one I really want to go after with my bow one of these days. But for those who have successfully drawn a tag, how far out are we looking for season?
Oh, well, baiting season can start as early here, depending on what unit you're in, 31 days prior to your bait season. So we're looking at the first part of August for most opening day of seasons, where folks can get their bear baits out, and season starts early September, 31 days. So September 11th, we'll be in the woods.
Man, that's crazy, being able to bait already. Now, one of the questions that I'm sure people have is, a lot of people use barrel baits. They're great for judging size of a black bear here in Michigan. But can we use them on DNR lands? I know we can do so on private land, but can we do that on the public land?
I advocate not so much for the metal barrels in our classes. We use hollow logs. So if you can find yourself a good oak, where the heart has rotted out in it, real heavy, you can cut that log any length you want. There's no limit on how much bait you can put out for bear. You can set the height. You make yourself a tree cookie. You put that on top. And then when you're done, you don't have to worry about all the regulations of having your name on it and removing it out of the woods, because it's just going to rot. It's part of the natural landscape, right? So when you get all that work to get it out there, just like you would a barrel, then you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. And that way you don't have to worry about it. And it also helps, you know, I'll put a tree cookie on the bottom of it. So that way the raccoons and the coyotes won't dig underneath and eat you out of house and home.
Yeah, no, because that could get expensive. Yeah, that and time consuming because, you know, a lot of us aren't living right next door to where we're going to bear hunting.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's one of the things that I try to get across in our program here is, you know, it's expensive enough just to feed a bear, let alone feed the rest of the woods.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Those donuts, you know, those donuts can be expensive, but actually it's funny. I knew a guy that worked at a bakery one time and, he had heard I was going bear hunting. So he took like two of those, heavy construction bags, the black car, contractor bags, filled them with donuts and just to the top. And it's like, I was driving around in my truck with donuts for a little while, but that's crazy. I mean, there are different types of bait to use, and I know you have some specifics that you like because we learned some things in the class when we took it at the Outdoor Skills Academy.
Yeah, every bear hunter has their thing, right? Just like deer hunting, there's a lot of great ways to do it, and everybody does their thing a little bit different because that's what they were successful doing, right? So our big thing is hopefully if you drew a tag or you're going to get your tag, and if you haven't bought your bait yet, you know, make sure you guys get out and get your bait purchased. People are starting to run out of bait. In the past years, we have not had bait available, very, very available on the west side of Michigan. But Ebel's this year started selling it, and there's a couple on the east side that I know of, Rajak Farms and bearbait.com. Or feedthebearsmichigan.com. So these are ones that I just know of, and there's a lot of others in the area that people can jump online and get. But if they have not got their bait yet, they need to do that. And typically we focus on stuff like granola, and we'll mix it with like pie filling.
Ooh.
Or we'll mix it with caramel. So, or Lucky Charms marshmallows. Yeah, I like that stuff that's light because some of my baits can be quite a ways off the trail. And, you know, when you're carrying that stuff, you want to make sure you can get it back in. And it's not, you know, you're not carrying 50 pounds of bait back in every time you go hiking for a mile.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's bad enough dragging the bear out once you get them. But to waste all your energy taking the bait in, might want to think about that to begin with. We made mention earlier of like trail cams and stuff. And I mean, right now, if you know, if you're not using a guide, but you know your area, trail cams can be very helpful, especially with bears, to see if they're coming into a bait site.
Yeah, I mean, right now, nothing says you can't get your cell cams out and get them onto trees, whatever your preference may be for brand. Just keep in mind that, you know, you can't place an attractant yet, because that would be considered a bait, and you can't bait prior to the season. So be careful there. But you can get out there and get them on trails and see if you can figure out where that big bear is. I have several out on trails right now. We got a picture just before the storm we had 2 days ago. We had a shooter bear, not a big one, but a shooter come across down through that trail. So you can do your homework now. But once you get your baits established, having a cell cam is invaluable because, you know, before I had to go out every day and check my baits and check my trail cams and see what's going on. And now with the cell cams, that bear may not hit it for 2 or 3 days. And so now I can go out and check my, only hit the baits when I get a picture on my phone that says there's no more bait left.
Right.
And so now we're being stewards of the environment, because that's less impact on our trails, that's less impact on our resources, and you know what, we're being green, right? We're burning less fossil fuels. You're saving me gas. So
right, exactly. Ed Shaw is our guest. We're going to talk more about bear hunting coming up here in Michigan and some tips that'll help you possibly be more successful. We'll do that here. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street 127 in Mason. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
But it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories he can tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here back again as we're getting into that season, man. We're getting into the late summer. The thoughts of early fall, we're going to talk about fishing, still some late summer fishing with Mike Nadkowski coming up in a little bit. Also, we're going to, just talk about lots of things going on in the area right now. We're talking about bear hunting with Ed Shaw, interpreter with the Michigan DNR up at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center at Lake Mitchell in Cadillac. And it's all being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Scents. And Conquest Scents, they make bear attractants as well. They got like a bacon and some other smoky things. What is it, Ed, that bears like about that smoky, musky smell, like, you know, the bacon or the molasses or things of that nature?
It's just just one more thing to keep them curious. So anytime I start my baits, I use a three-factor scent control. So one, I use Conquest Scents myself just to control my scent. So Scent control is important for a bear because keep in mind they have very poor eyesight, but they rely on their nose and their ears, you know, to detect other, you know, a threat. So while you're not going to convince that bear you're not there, he knows you're there. It's whether or not you can convince or habituate that bear to come in while you're there. So the minimum scent that you have, the better. And so using those scent control methods like Conquest Scents to get rid of your body odor or your scent control, your scent lock, stuff like that, that's great. Those are great methods, ways to control that. But I also use things like something sweet smelling. I got a spray that smells like fruity pebbles or raspberries, and I'll change that up through the season to keep those bears curious coming in. So, oh, wait, there's something new. I want to come in. There's something new. I want to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that a lot of hunters do that. And I teach that in my classes where I might start my bait with one scent, but just before my hunt, 2-3 to 5 days before my hunt, that's when I'm going to use my real sweet-smelling scents and my best baits, my donuts and all that fun stuff to keep that bear, because the goal is to outbait you. Right. If you have a bait 3 or 4 miles down the road from me, I want that bear to come to my bait, not your bait.
Right. Yeah. And literally 3 to 4 miles down the road is not an exaggeration because of how migratory they can be when looking for food or anything else of that matter.
Yeah. I make sure we have a young hunter that I'm helping out. A good friend of mine drew a tag and gave it to his granddaughter, and we're going to be up. I have a bait in Leelanau, Wexford, and just on the border of Grand Traverse. So I have them in 3 different counties.
Yeah, that's not bad. You know, gas is only $4.50 a gallon now.
Right. And so that's the thing. And that's where those cell cams really come in handy is they, you know, I'm not out there every day running, up the border of Leelanau County and, you know, into Grand Traverse County to check those baits. Once I get them out there, I can wait until I get pictures, and then I know I have to go out there and refresh that bait.
Ed Shaw is our guest here in Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Ed, success rate. In Michigan, when you draw an elk tag, it's a pretty fair success rate. When it comes to bear tags, it's not as good. I mean, it's difficult. And look, if there's no shame in, you know, if you know a guide and you can afford a guide, that's great. When I did my elk hunt in 2013, look, man, I was on super budget. I borrowed a buddy's rifle. I was staying in little cheap motels in Gaylord, eating, you know, squeezed cheese and crackers from the Walmart. And I couldn't afford a guide. There was no way. But the DNR turned me on to landowners that had problem elk or, you know, enough elk on their property, and that's how I was successful. Bear hunting's a little different. There are guides that you can enlist their help, and some use dogs and some don't. What's the big difference success rate-wise with dogs and going it alone?
First, I want to throw out there that, you know, they can call our contact service stations You know, don't call Cadillac about Newberry. They're not going to know.
Sure.
Call the Cadillac or the Newberry contact service station, and they'll be able to direct you. If we do have nuisance sprayers, we'll do the same thing. It's no guarantee, though, you know, that
right.
we will have a place, but we can direct you. So I encourage the folks to call their local DNR offices where they're going to be hunting, and we can send you on in that direction. Next, the DNR has a webpage called michigan.gov/mihunt. That'll give you the cover type so they can find state and national land that meets those criteria, those cedar swamps along aspen stand edges, or just like deer, bear can be edge creatures, and they're going to take the path of least resistance so they can use that. So the to answer your question, though, statewide, the success rate is about 33%. So, but take that with a grain of salt, because you got Drummond Island with almost 100% success rate every year. Really, because, you know, there's only one or two tags every year available for that unit. Or in the UP, where you draw the third hunt, late season, guaranteed over-the-counter tag, it's going to skew that data. So take this information with a grain of salt, right?
Sure.
So 33% statewide success rate. Dog hunters had a 59% success rate. So, you know, in northern lower, if you look at the Baldwin unit and the Red Oak unit, they're right around that 50% give or take mark for a success rate. So literally half of the deer bear hunters out there will be successful. And even in some units, like the Baldwin unit is 55%. Don't quote me. Cody, our bear biologist in the UP, gave me rough numbers and the newest data up there. So I don't want to speak for wildlife or step on his toes, but this is great data to see, because that went up. You know, so it's cool to see that about 50% of our northern lower bear hunters are going to be successful.
It is important, because look, man, you've been putting in tags for, you know, 6-8 years, you know, just to get a shot. You know, you can buy preference points, which I've been doing all along, because frankly, I don't have the first clue where I want to go bear hunting. And if I do ever get that clue of where I want to hunt, I want to know where I can go, where I can find a guide, possibly somebody that's going to help me do the work and have a higher chance of success. Because look, man, it's a big deal to get a Michigan bear, in my opinion. I can go to Canada, where my opportunity for success is much greater. And Lord knows, man, I've had that opportunity. I've been 15 yards away face to face with a feeding bear looking at me while I'm putting my release on for my bow. Was I successful? No. Why? Because my sight was loose, and probably should have checked that bow a little bit better. But
that's something we encourage, though, too, Duran, is you know, if you're not sure, hire a guide.
Yeah,
5,800 people bought a bear license last year. Only 725 hunters, or 14%, hired a guide.
Wow.
But those who hired a guide were 51% success rate.
Yeah, and that's you know what, when you can increase your odds that much in this, it's definitely worth it. I mean, look, because this is a trophy of a lifetime, whether you're doing it for the meat or otherwise. It's a big deal to take a black bear in Michigan. That's my opinion. I'm going to stick with it. Ed Shaw is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Ed, if you don't mind, dude, I want to keep you one more segment.
Yes, sir. I'll be on.
Maybe two. I don't know. We're just going to have fun with Ed Shaw here, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Scents, who also sell bear scents at Wild Michigan.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street, 127 in Mason. Check them out for their online auctions and all kinds of other great stuff, because they are more than guns, man. They're ammunition, they're everyday carry, they're equipment, they're scopes, sights, everything. Everything you could possibly form, and classes to teach you safety. notjustguns.com. Mike Green and those guys are fantastic. Truly, truly the good guys in the gun business. I'm Duran Martinez speaking with Ed Shaw on the Conquest Sense hotline. And because this is kind of a niche thing, and not too many people know about bear hunting in Michigan. They know we have bears. We know that we've had bears even in the Lansing, just north of Lansing area, that they're very migratory and things like that. But when that hunt comes around, people, this is one of those hunts that you prepare for a lot. I mean, whether it being buying preference points or applying for the same place a million times, you know, when it was the Red Oak, is that the proper name for that area, Ed? Because that seems to be the big popular one on the west side of the state.
That's the largest unit in the northern lower, but the hot spot's the Baldwin unit, because I mean, you could be applying for 12 to 13 years before you ever draw a tag.
Right.
Red Oak's only 9 to 10 points. So the Baldwin unit's the hot spot, you know, that with those tags, 11 to 12 years. And that's the theme we go with. You said the magic word is prepare. And that's the theme we push in our classes. And I wish I had more time with your listeners, because we teach a 6 to 7 hour class on this. But it's making sure that when you do a draw tag, don't wait till August 11th, say in one of the lower units, 31 days prior to your hunt, to know where you're going. Know where you're going to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Call in our offices. Talk to local folks. Try to figure out where you're going to be so that when that day hits, you can get those baits out the very first day. That way, if you have to move them, you have time to move them. Two, make sure that you get your bait secured now, well before your hunt, because they do sell out quickly. Three, know where you're going to take your bear. Call your local taxidermist, because a lot of these guys, I know my guy, one of the best in the state, you know, he's not taking new clients on. So unless you're a current client, he's not going to take your bear. So know where you're going to take it. And most importantly, know what you're going to do with the bear itself, whether you're going to skin it yourself or you're going to take it to a processor. See if your processor is willing to take that bear late at night for you so you can get it in and get it in the cooler, because you want to get that hide off, and you want to get all that fat on the back off. Not only do you want to get it off the hide, but you want to get it off the meat too, and get that meat cooled. My processor, Roger there in Mikowski's, he showed me an interlock, and last year where the ball joints meet the hips especially, because you got a lot of fat, a lot of meat, and a lot of hide back there, it was green a couple days after people got their bears into him, and he couldn't use that meat. He had to get rid of it. It was spoiled. It was bad. So making sure that you get those bears in and get them cooled down, get them packed with ice. I save gel packs. I've mm-hmm. got a couple 5 gallon buckets full of gel packs. I freeze for bear hunting and stuff that bear full of gel packs. Get it cooled down. Get that hide off as quick as you can, and know those where you're going to take it. Make sure that, you know, you get it to a DNR tech station within 72 hours. And there's a list in the back of the guide, or if you go online on the PDF guide, of where you can get your bear checked. But the biggest thing I think people run into, one of the biggest hurdles, is they don't call ahead.
Mm-hmm.
They see a place listed and they don't realize that all these checkpoints or check stations are not necessarily DNR. These are volunteer businesses. They're gas stations, they're restaurants, and so they're not always going to be open or available to check your bear. So make sure that you call ahead and know when they're open and they're willing to check your bear at that time, because they might be busy. In years past, I have people show up to my office and they can't get their bear checked because nobody's around. Even at our contact service stations, most of them are only open to our operation service centers are only open Monday through Friday. They're not open on the weekends. So keep that in mind and make sure you guys have a checklist and you go down through all those things I just mentioned, and that you prepare, prepare, prepare. And it's the folks that do that and they're prepared for every scenario that those are the guys successful. And the last bit of advice I'd give your listeners is make sure you know who you're going to call if you wound a bear.
Absolutely.
Not all hunters will run a bear with their dog. They, you know, they don't want to run a wounded bear. And the guys who track deer necessarily will not track a bear, because their dog may not track bears. It's just deer. So know who you're going to call, because we run into that every year. I get phone calls from my students. I shot one. Can you come help us look? I can't find it. And they're in a panic, right? Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind, that you want to make sure that you have all those things lined up prior to your hunt.
Ed Shaw is our guest here on Wild Michigan, interpreter with Michigan DNR up at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center in Lake Mitchell in Cadillac. Ed, you know, I've hunted bear in Canada, and I've seen firsthand. I mean, even if you don't get that hide cooled down fast enough, that fat off of there, I mean, you'll start losing fur on that thing, and you'll end up with patches. And look, what we do with hunting is, yes, we do it for the enjoyment of hunting. We do it for the meat, which bear meat is very particular. Trichinosis, you can get trichinosis from bear meat if it is not handled properly. We want to respect the animal when we honor the animal for the rest of eternity, but whether it's a mount, a rug, a wall hanging, whatever the case, you know, people see those, I mean, some people see those as just trophies as you're showing off. We see it as we are honoring that time in our lives, the spirit of that animal, and it's, you know, and its life. I mean, it will live longer than we will as a mount, you know, rather than getting diseased or hit by a car or something like that, or even dying a natural death. Let's just be fair to all parties considered. Look, this is how we honor the animal. It's not just taking it as a trophy, okay? There is so much more that goes into it, and that is part of the preparedness that Ed has been talking about. So make sure you have that great big cooler to get that hide cool down, to get that meat cool down, get the fat off the hide, because I've seen firsthand what a short amount of time in a very hot climate can do to your bear. You know, you get hair slippage from the hair and everything else. Not cool, man. And definitely have a good taxidermist lined up. You know, I know several that are very good and like really, really good and have done some things for me. So, you know, I mean, just know and be prepared, like Ed says. Excuse me, I started getting away from myself there and get a drink. But Ed, you're right, man. I mean, and you know, the smallest details should not be overlooked for bear hunting.
Yeah, you prepare, you do your due diligence, you get out, you get scout, you know, scout out your places, and don't limit yourself. You're allowed 3 baits. So make sure that if you're going to bait yourself, you have 3 baits. You can always eliminate a couple, but you know, the date of your hunt. And all of a sudden, someone's down the road from you. There's some bird hunters in the woods, because it does happen the same time as small game season. And they have every right to be there, as you do. And the youth hunt is that same opening weekend. Mm-hmm. And then you got the early doe season the next weekend. And then you got hunters move in, and you're hunting state or federal land. You want to be able to move to your other spot. That way, you don't limit yourself to those one spots. I had a buddy who just called me. He just wants to hunt his own property. I'm like, but get two other baits out. And I had, you know, I had to convince him of that.
Right.
And so now he's got 3 bait sites picked out so he can get them started. But, you know, don't limit yourself. Put in the time. You know, now's not the time to watch football. This is the time to be an outdoorsman, not a football fan.
Absolutely. More with Ed Shaw. In the words of Fred Trost, get outdoors. It's a great place to be. Going to talk more with Ed coming up next on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Getting it. Here we are, late summer, man. We're in August, fully into August, getting ready for September. And that's when things just kind of explode and you don't know which way to go. You know, you don't know whether you want to go fishing, do some steelheading, maybe out with some kings or some lake trout on the big water. Maybe you're still chasing the muskie on Lake St. Clair or some smallmouth. This is where, if you're an outdoors person whatsoever, maybe you want to even go foraging, that you don't know which way to look. You can do something different every day from now to the end of the year and not have done the same thing twice, which is cool. Ed Shaw joins us right now on the Conquest Sense hotline because we've been talking about bear hunting, and just a couple of things we want to tidy up before we move on to the next segment. Safety is our big thing. And when we are out bear hunting, there are times we still need to wear orange.
Yeah, just a reminder for the hunters, because I know, you know, it's not November, so we're not thinking orange. But if you're going to hunt with a firearm, or you can take your bow and your firearm during the firearm bear season. You can take both with you. But if you carry a firearm, make sure you're wearing your hunter's orange, and make sure you know where you are, that, you know, you don't trespass. Those are the two biggest complaints against hunters, and we want to make sure that we're being ethical.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Ethics, safety, all a big part of what we do. So please, if you're rifle hunting, wear the orange. Even, you know, it's just one of those things that we want everybody that goes out to come back in as we found you, okay? Safety, safety, safety. We preach it every year. And side note, I have 11 bear points. So I've even missed a couple of years, so I've been doing this for a while.
So you're coming hunting with us next year?
I'm going to try. I'm going to see. Now I have something to shoot for next year, no pun intended. Yeah, I've got 11, so maybe, you know, the big 12 will be when I finally get off my duff and do it. Let's talk about getting outdoors. You know, where I'd mentioned, Ed, there's a million things we can do right now. Mushrooms are popping up. The steelhead are going to start coming into the rivers before too long because things are going to cool down. We still have a lot of big water open. Bow season is coming up. I mean, it's kind of making my head spin. I mean, all before the 15th of September, we have things coming up. But you teach classes to people who want to learn, Outdoor Skills Academy. What do you have coming up? I mean, even though it may be full, what do you guys have coming up that somebody say, geez, maybe I want to try this next year?
Well, we have foraging classes coming up, and we're putting together a new one, so you may not see it on our webpage at michigan.gov/outdoor skills. So call me, and I'll get you some dates put together. But we have a mushroom, how to forage for mushroom clinic coming up, our whitetail clinic coming up. While it says full, when we posted that online, keep in mind we were still under COVID regulations, so I can take a few more people now. We can fill some of those extra seats now that those regulations are lifted. We have our salmon clinic coming up, because the best part about living in the northwest of Michigan, you know, we can go salmon fishing in the morning and deer hunting in the evening, or small game hunting. So that's the best play about the place I live, is it is hard to decide, so I just do both.
A little cast and blast.
Right? So I like the term. I love it. I'm going to steal that and, you know, and use it in our clinics. But we have our upland game bird clinic coming up, waterfowl. And then, you know, I hate to say it, but I'll be posting the ice fishing clinics here very soon. And we'll get our friends Norm Smith and that whole crew back into the classroom and back up here in Cadillac, and we'll be out fishing. And I'll tell you what, I'm pretty excited, because we've got some new gear. I had the students at Ferris State University's welding class weld me up a sleigh. So now we're able to get students a little further off water and get to where we want to fish. So I'm very excited for this year. It's going to be a whole new class with a lot of new gear, thanks to the students there.
You know, that's fantastic. And it's not too early to talk about ice fishing, because, again, it's a question of being prepared. You know, maybe start scouting these garage sales and look for a hub-style shelter. I mean, I went over to my friend Scott Goins' place the other day. Scott had a sale, had a nice pop-up shelter for like $50. Why I didn't buy it, I don't know. But I mean, it's like, you know, he had all the anchors and everything else. It's like you can't find that deal new. You know, he just went to something bigger for his ice fishing. But, you know, this is the time now. Trust me, if you're going to do a garage sale, put the ice fishing stuff out, because you can get it cheap, and you know, and you can get rid of stuff. It's kind of a win-win for all of us.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, don't wait till rifle season to buy your ammo.
Oh, Lord.
Because, you know, how many of us walked in to grab a box of something popular, like an .06 or something, and then it's all gone, right? So that's a great advice, Duran. Is same thing last year. Vexilar and your pop-up and clam-style shanties all sold out early. So, you know, start looking at that for that stuff now for Christmas presents, for just so you have it, stick it in the closet, and you got it.
Well, too, speaking with Ed Shaw from the Michigan DNR, he's an interpreter up at the Lake Mitchell in Cadillac, Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. Let me put into your brain now, as a former retail store owner, that they ordered for this year last year, and with supply chain issues, the problems that we've been having because of the pandemic and every other thing that has gone wrong in the past couple of years, supplies may not be fully to their capacity yet. So buy now, like you said, buy ammunition now, get sighted in now. Get your gun sighted in, your bow sighted in. Put the gun away. Put it in the case. Leave it alone. But please, biggest pet peeve in the world I have is to be in a tree stand and hear another private landowner sighting in on the 14th of November as I'm trying to squeeze the last day of bow season out. I don't want the distraction. Okay? I'm making this about me right now, but I know I'm not alone. Okay, get sighted in now before the range is overflowed with people, before the ammunition you need for your whatever you're shooting is gone or has been jacked up because supply and demand has gone through the roof. Again, not just guns, but every place else. Okay, I got to throw in a word for our sponsor because they have lots and lots and lots and lots of ammunition. I mean, rounds to the I can't even fathom what they have. I've heard the numbers, but I don't know what those numbers look like because I've never had to have that much ammunition. But do it now. Being prepared is where we're all going with this. And Ed, I think you're the king of preparedness.
I wouldn't say that, but I keep a, you know, we use a box, I buy a box. I don't wait until hunting season to go buy ammo. When I'm at Dunham's looking for the kids' summer clothes, a swimsuit, I run over to the ammo section and I grab a box of ammo, right? I don't make a special trip, especially with gas prices, to do that. So, you know, keep that in mind, because I used to work at retail myself, and I would see that every rifle season, small game season. I knew what season it was because we'd be out of ammo. Waterfowl season. You know, we'd be out of steel shot, you know, and so forth. So make sure that you get it now and don't wait till rifle season to grab that ammo. And you hit the nail on the head. That's one thing we teach in our bear classes, is sight in. And keep in mind, when you're sighting in for bear, they're not out there 100 yards.
No.
They're out there 30 to 50 yards at best. And so make sure that you're sighted in for that distance with the ammo you're going to use. And one last thing I'll leave everybody with is don't use hot loads. Those slower, faster, bigger punch loads, like a 12-gauge Sabot slug, or even your slower 30 calibers and stuff like that, you know, those are the rounds you want to use. So use the ammo for what you're hunting for. Make sure that you're sighted in for that distance.
Absolutely.
So that way, if you have a deer rifle sighted in for 200 yards, you don't shoot and hit high or hit low or go, what the heck happened?
Yeah, you know what? I think, too, what people don't realize is bear are coming in at kind of a late time of the day, and if there's still a lot of foliage, still a lot of cover, using a scope may not be the best thing ever because, you know, you are limited with light, and depending on what you're using, it's not taking in a lot of light. Usually open sights, especially at 30 to 50 yards, are going to be your best bet. But that's just me, again, yep, thinking like me.
That a lot of our guides recommend 12-gauge slugs with iron sights.
Yeah, just keep it simple. I mean, it's a very – don't overthink it. Bears, like you said, they have great hearing and a great olfactory system. Their eyesight is not so great. I mean, if Duran can sit there 15 yards from a bear and he's more interested about the food in front of him than me, I'll take that as, you know, a win-win for me. Although, again, still a little bitter taste in my mouth from that whole season. But Ed Shaw, it's been a great hour, man. A rarity here that we keep anybody for an hour, but we could keep you for like 7 or 8 and still not cover everything. But thank you so much. Again, please give me that website for the Outdoor Skills Academy.
Michigan.gov/outdoor skills.
All right. Find him. We'll put a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Whole another hour coming your way. Ed, thank you so much, my brother.
Having me.
All right, man. We will do it all again. Another hour coming your way. Going to talk with Mike Natkowski. Find out a little bit of late summer fishing here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.